Blog Talk Radio.
Those little styrofoam cups, and
and you fill them up with some of your favorite Kool-Aid or juice, and you freeze them. You freeze them in a freezer, and boom, you got icy cups. Yeah, he was selling icy cups, so I got a couple of icy cups from the devil today. That's how hot it was outside. But
wow. So you call them icy cups. I call them frozen cups.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm
in Boston.
Yes.
In Chi-Town, we called them icy cups. You know, there was, older women who they would have what we like to call candy houses. You know, call it candy house. Yeah, at a candy house, and you go to the candy house, and she's selling candy and pickles and cookies and icy cups and different things like that. So, yeah, that was back in the day. Nowadays, you know, kids are just, you know, it's sunny, they're light, and the purple stuff, and, you know, whatever it is the kids are drinking these days. Nowadays, hell, kids is drinking, you know, Ciroc and gin and juice, so you never know what's going on now, so.
Right, that's interesting. You all call it candy house. I guess it's regional, as in to, you know, tomato, tomato, sneakers, tennis shoes, you know what I mean? Because we used to call the candy lady, the person that sold candy at their house, that was the candy lady. Even if it was a man, it was still the candy lady that sold that stuff. And then
that's
it was
right.
The frozen cups, right. So, you know, you make your frozen cups, and you sell them for a quarter, and then what you do, you turn them upside down, you take a spoon, and you dig in them. And then you just like, and then you just be eating them, and then you do your dance, and then the ice cream truck come around, you'd be like, no, I got some frozen cups, and then that was it.
Exactly. So, you know, I mean, the ice cream man, you know, he's working overtime right now in this summertime, you know. And ice cream, man, I know some of them ice cream man, they be making them kids run on purpose. I know they do. Ice cream man be making, they make them kids run on purpose for the ice cream truck. That's wrong, ice cream man. That's wrong. Now,
it is wrong.
Some of the ice cream man got to be careful. Now, these kids nowadays, you know, when you sitting there selling them the candy, you know, they robbing you of your rims and tires and maybe your Cadillac converter or something. So, you know, the ice cream man got to be careful these days. You know, the kid may jack you or take your ice cream, you know?
Wow, take your ice cream literally, right.
Exactly. Jack you would take the ice cream, and if the truck looks fly, the kids may take the truck too. You never know. You know,
I actually seen an ice cream truck with, I think it was 20s, and they were playing like rap music or whatever. And I was like, really? And then I turned around, the guy had like an entire mouth of gold grills. I'm like, that doesn't look like my ice cream man, but okay.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. You just never know. I mean, like I said, if the kids mess around and take the ice cream truck, then, you know, you got all the little kids in the neighborhood. Yo, little Junior got an ice cream truck. Little Junior got an ice cream truck. You know, and he riding around giving ice cream out to all the kids in the neighborhood. Junior, where you get an ice cream truck from? You know how I do it, baby. You know how I do it. You know, so he probably jacked the ice cream man and took the truck. You never know.
Right, right, exactly. But did you know some ice cream trucks, you can actually buy franchises, and then they also provide an ice cream truck background check because you're servicing children as your demographic or as your targeted audience. So you have to have, a clear and free record. So these are things that have to go into it, and you have to lease your truck. So during the off-season months, you have to find somewhere to put your ice cream truck.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's a lot to go good for that. Mm-hmm.
You know it. It's the D-Hour Show. People, your pieces in the building. D. Slate, Miss Fabulous. We're getting in here right now. Celebrity Thursday. Yes, Celebrity Thursday. We got to start that celebrity tonight. And we're going to be getting it in with the one and only Miss the beautiful Miss Cece Peniston. We're going to be getting in with her in a few minutes. Right now, we got a couple of hits. Yeah, you heard what I said. We got hits. You know, we got the music. We got to play all the hits right here on the D-Hour Show. But when we get back, we're going to be definitely joined by the beautiful Miss Cece Peniston. So don't go nowhere. We got more D-Hour Show coming up. It's my man Jazz featuring Jill Scott with his joint Love Again right here on the D-Hour Show. Let's get it.
Dum-dum-dum-bum, dum-dum-bum-bum-bum, bum-bum-bum. tomorrow, but today I feel so
Yeah, welcome back. Welcome back. It's the D-Hour Show on Block Talk Radio. It's your boy, D. Slate. Got Miss Fabulous in the building playing all the hits. You just got through listening to the hit single from our next guest, Miss CeCe Peniston. With Finally, before that was Jazz featuring Miss Jill Scott with Love Again. You know, we're getting it in, you know, as always. You know how we do it, people. Well, ladies and gentlemen, right now it's about time for us to introduce our first guest for tonight. After releasing internationally acclaimed record, Finally, in 1991, and a 20th anniversary release in 2011 featuring Joyriders, CeCe Peniston is undoubtedly one of the greatest female international superstars, as she has taken the international market by storm, with a large number of sales both in the U.S. and U.K. and over a 20-year career span. And that's a long time, ladies and gentlemen, to say that you're in this business. And we always tell all the up-and-coming artists that's what you want, is to have longevity. CeCe continues to leave her presence at the top of the U.S. and international dance charts. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm D-Hour Show welcome to the beautiful Miss CeCe Peniston.
Hey.
Hey, Al. How y'all doing?
Hey, CeCe Peniston.
Hey, sweetie, how you doing?
Doing good. When I just jumped all in front of D. Slate, the CEO, the founder, the program director. I graduated in 91, so that was my senior year, so that was 21 years ago, and that's all we played at the prom. CeCe Peniston, Finally. So I just had a flashback.
Thank you. I was in here ad-libbing, like, listening to, like, hey.
CeCe, first and foremost, I want to say, Finally, we got a chance to have you on the show. I know I've been talking to, you know, my boy Greg for a while, trying to get you on the show, and it's an absolute pleasure and honor to have you on the show. Like Miss Fabulous said, I loved your music, and you've had some great hits, in the past, and I know you're working on some great music right now, and we're definitely going to debut your new single, Celebrate, for the D-Hour Show crowd and audience tonight, to give them a chance to listen to some of your new music. And to go into that, your new music project, I mean, tell us a little bit about that and the inspiration going into that.
Well, first of all, we'll start with Celebrate. Celebrate is like, it's one of those songs I felt like I wanted, like, that universal song for, like, any special occasion. That's why I call it Celebrate. And what do we do when we celebrate? Raise your glass in the air and toast to it, you know? So that's where, like, the thought process came for that. And I felt like with what's going on in the music industry right now, I was doing dance. I was originally doing dance. I've done R&B, too, with, like, Keep It Walking, Out of You, I'm in the Mood. And the pop electro sound is really hot. So I'm doing a little of the pop electro sound right now. And I'm almost done with my album.
That's great. Okay, that's great. Well, I know you're huge. I mean, you're huge internationally. Absolutely. I mean, I've talked to people overseas that talk about you all the time. Talk about the – and I know I talk about this so many times on the D-Hour Show, but, you know, talk about the difference, you know, in the love and the attitude you get internationally, and then, you know, as well as the love and support you get here in the U.S.
I've been blessed to have a really great following over in Europe. The thing about Europe is, it's like your music over in Europe never gets old to anybody. It's like the song could be 5-6 years old, it could be 10 years old, whatever it is. They just, if they love the song and they love you as an artist, it just you stay. You stay there automatically. Here in the States, I think we're more like chart-driven, what's on the Billboard right now, what's on radio right now, and they're more like, hey, we just love the song, we just love the person, the artist, you know. So I think that's the main difference. But as far as, like, I think music is already just universal anyway. I think that's what makes the world go around. It's one of those things, like, when we think of memories, it's bad, it's good, it's happy, it's sad. So I think universally music is just what soothes the soul. So I could definitely say, like, Europe is just like, you know, when you travel over there, it's a different energy here, it's a different energy, but it's all good.
You know, the great thing about it is, too, I remember talking to, you know, Rome and Albie Shore and Naughty by Nature, and, you know, when I had them on the show, and they were talking about, you know, the love that they get overseas. You know, it's so incredible and it's so phenomenal. And they undoubtedly said, you know, we do get love. We do get great love in our own country, in the U.S. He said, but, you know, a lot of them said, but we kind of, you know, as Americans, sometimes we tend to take advantage of music. You know, we tend to take advantage of it and you know, not really give it as much love as we probably can. But overseas, you know, like you said, that, you know, your music never dies over there. And they have so much love for music in other countries.
And I love that, too, because I listen to music of what now. I listen to dance. I listen to R&B. Reggae. I listen to rap. I listen to a variety. So for me, it's like music is just really my world. My world would be very silent without it.
Absolutely.
I just love it.
Absolutely. Well, I got Miss Fabulous. You got any questions for CC?
Oh, absolutely. First and foremost, I want to say how honored and how incredible, you know, Lee, blessed we are to have you in the studio here on the D Hour Show. Just celebrated the 2-year anniversary last week. So that was tremendous. And then to have, you know, a great person such as yourself in spirit, you know, and in motivation for your music, this is just overwhelming. I definitely want to say also June is Black Music Month, and support your national, yes, support your national artists. This is to our listener audience. Not necessarily consider yourself to always have to be within trend, as, you know, CeCe Peniston has indicated. Listen to music because you like it. You like the way it makes you feel. You like the nostalgia behind it. But at the same time, the question for you, CeCe, is that how were you able to sustain such a longevity in the industry? There are so many one-hit wonders. There are so many, you know, girl groups or boy groups that, you know, enmesh, and then you have irreconcilable differences, so they go their own way. What allows you to say, hey, I had a 20-year and I'm still going type of Energizer Bunny type of, you know, relationship with your craft?
You know, first of all, before I answer the question, I want to give you a congrats on your 2-year. I want to give you a congrats on that, and thank you for having me on the show. And to get to your question, yeah, you know, I got to give you love back. you know, I think it's about reinventing yourself. It's blood, it's sweat and tears, it's sacrifice. It's, you know, I go through my things, too. I get, like, frustrated. I've had my frustrated times. I've had my times where I'm real happy. I'm, like, trying to, like, I'll do dance lessons because I want to make myself greater on stage, or I'm doing, like, right now I'm doing, like, different stage shows for whatever market I'm going into. I changed my stage show to make it new, or, like, I'm in the gym, like, this doesn't feel good, but I'm in the gym at, like, 4:15 in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, getting in with a trainer because I want to be in shape, I want to look great, I want to be healthy, you know. And then as far as the music thing, I think it's whatever's trending. You kind of listen to what's going on in the just on the radio and music and TV, just YouTube, just everywhere, what people are talking about. And you have to be in the now. So I think the main thing is being in the now. Don't be content. You can't be content as an artist. You have to keep going and making it greater every time. Because just when you think that it's cool, there's somebody else that came out with something new, and you have to be on top of it. Just like when we thought Facebook and Twitter was like the last thing. Now here we got Instagram, or we got Tumblr, we got, you know what I'm saying? There's so many things already being invented all the time.
Absolutely. And I heard you speak of, you know, the overseas experience, because I'm headed over there myself in October, you know, to UK, to Germany, to Italy, the Netherlands. And, you know, over here, how we have a huge military installation, you know, in a lot of our states. I know Virginia is, like, the largest military base in the world. And they service, you know, greater families, DOD, and things of that nature. Also, I want to include that they have the exchange and so forth. So as to in the states, it's contingent upon how many albums that you sell and your fan base and so forth, you know. But overseas, it's contingent upon units, you know, and the ACs and them ordering the merchandise. Again, reinventing yourself, CeCe, is one thing. And then also making sure that you present your audience with something fresh all the time. What would you or how would you categorize your genre as of now? 20-something years ago, you were kind of, you know, R&B, techno, you know, dance, top 40. Are you still categorized in that genre for the States as well as internationally? Because it can be two separate entities.
You know what? It's funny because I do, like just R&B shows where I do, like, all R&B music. Like, I just recently did a band show here in Arizona. I did all R&B music. Then I went to, I have a show with Joe and Howard Q that I'm doing in Chicago coming up in July. I'll be doing all R&B. Then I just had a show in Vegas that I just did this past weekend. It's the pop electro sound. So it's like, because of the music that I've already done, the music that I'm doing now, it's like I have a little bit of music kind of all across the board, which is such a blessing because, you know, I know a lot of people don't have that, and God bless me with that. So I just, you know, whatever market I'm in, I tailor my CD or my music to wherever I'm at.
That's right.
But as, you know what I mean? That's what I do.
Absolutely.
Okay, can I go in here one more question? Basically, a lot of our artists, you know, they're just stuck with, unfortunately, being able to do one thing and not be able to walk and chew gum. You're such a vibrant person and, you know, such community-orientated because I always do research. And, again, you're not just an artist who's being presented before the world. You're an artist of giving, you know. You give back a lot. So do you actually – it's a two-part question, actually. One, do you see yourself stretching to do maybe – I think you've done some national stage plays. I'm not really certain recently, but – because I'm a fan and I follow the people in which I really like and invest in. And no bootlegs, listening audience. If you like CeCe Peniston, purchase her album. Don't get it from Junebug on the corner or from your local hair store. Purchase the album with a receipt.
That's right, baby. That's right.
With Junebug and Ray Ray, you know.
Right, and them, and your cousins and them, right? So, actually, do you see yourself stretching, like doing national stage plays, possibly a reality show, Dancing with the Stars, you know, kind of, you know, being able to step out and do some other things? And then my other question as a follow-up, I know you have a current project in the making, but how can we find out more about you and what you're doing, and do you support any national organization? So I think that's like a three-parter. I don't know. Yeah,
that's okay.
Like that.
it's all good. Actually, I have been doing some things outside of just doing the music. I did some movies. I did like a cameo on this movie called Pastor Jones, and I also did an independent movie called Don't Touch If You Ain't Prayed. I definitely love Dancing with the Stars. It's something that, like, since the beginning that I've wanted to do, and I actually was taking dance lessons. I was taking tango and salsa and taking – it wasn't for long because I ended up going back on the road, but I started some of it. And also, I do voiceovers. Like, I do character voices. And I did one cartoon. Girl, I have, like, 14 different voices. I do, like, Marge Simpson. I do Betty Boop. I have this other character named Candy. So it's like, I like doing that. Oh, you want me to do it, don't you?
Yeah.
All right, I'll do Marge for you, okay? You ready?
Okay, we're ready.
Oh, my goodness, dude. It's so nice to be on your show. Oh, my God. What's that? Thank you.
Marge,
yo, that is fire. Go.
Wow.
Thank you. Is Anthony the stand-in, right? I had to pick her up, and then I had this other little voice named Candy. That's like, that's how I got a chance to do, like, the cartoon. I was in there doing, like, little voices in this and writing with some friends of mine. They doing a cartoon. They were like, hey, we can use you. So that's definitely something I want to do more of. And to let you know also, too, to get back to what you were saying about the community, I was an ambassador for the PTA for a while.
Wow.
I'm not
that's
right now,
cool.
But I was doing that for a while because I really support education because I feel like knowledge is something that people can't take away from you. And continuing on, I have an organization myself that I had the CeCe Peniston Youth Foundation, but I'm starting a different organization called LOTS, and it's called Lifting Others to Succeed. So that's something new that I'm working on right now.
Wow.
Okay.
So if other people want to... Yes, if other people, you know, who also have existing nonprofit 501c organizations, and I'm glad that you said education because I'm actually a former educator in Virginia, so that warms my heart. And with all the bullying initiatives and, you know, gangs for girls and all this other stuff that, you know, teenagers, they don't know how to go outside and talk it over and let the Barbie dolls shake hands and walk away. It's just so
mm-hmm.
much bigger today. So
I definitely commend you. And if people want to get involved, or you're looking for ambassadors, or just, you know, people to collaborate and things of that nature, or even support or donate, how are they able to find out more about what you're doing via your music projects, as well as your community service outreach initiatives?
Absolutely. You know, you can definitely log on to my Facebook. I have a regular Facebook. I have official CC Peniston fan page. I'm on Twitter. I also have ccpeniston.com. I just recently got on Instagram. I just started taking my little pictures for Instagram, one of me and one of my me and my little dog. So I just started. Only got a couple of pictures on there right now. And I also have a Tumblr. So those are the ways that, you know, people can get in touch with me, hit me up. I'll keep people posted on, like, the different events I'm doing, especially on my fan page. I'll let people know what I'm doing. And, y'all hit me up. I'll hit you back. Might take me a second to get to everybody, but I'll hit you back.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, Cece, you got a little time to hang out with us for a little bit?
Sure.
Okay, well, we got it's the D-Hour Show on Blog Talk Radio right now. We're going to go ahead and debut Cece's new hit single, Celebrate. It's the D-Hour Show world premiere. When we come back from that, we got more questions for Cece, as well as we're also going to be talking to, hopefully Cece can hang out with us, but we're going to be talking to Season 2 American Alumni contestant Corey Clark from American Idol is going to be on with us as well a little bit later. So right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's Cece Peniston's new hit single, Celebrate. Cece, go ahead and introduce your song for everybody.
Hey, y'all, this is my new one, Celebrate 2012. I want to give y'all some love, and y'all give it back to me. Go on iTunes and check it out. Celebrate.
There it is, right here on the D-Hour Show, Blog Talk Radio.
We're here to party. I'm trying to get out on the floor. Let's get it started. The night is young, my head is
Fabulous and my other co-host RC in the building. We got the lovely Miss CeCe Peniston with us, and that was her hit, her new hit single, Celebrate, right here on the D Hour Show. And RC, well, what you think about that?
I mean, I checked that song out earlier, but first before that, I just wanted to say, CeCe.
Yeah.
It is an honor and a pleasure to be speaking to you today. Like, you're like one of my favorite artists, and finally back in the day was my shit. So I'm glad. I missed your voice, so I'm glad that, you know, to hear some new stuff from you. I'm glad, you know, you've been around, but I'm glad that we get to hear that voice again. So, yeah, I love the song. So.
Thank you. I'm smiling. 2012, 2013, good. I hope you're teasing. 2012, 2013, you know what I'm saying? And bring it on back home. That's all I had to say. So I don't really have a question, but I just wanted to say that to you. So I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, sweetheart. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for everybody that's listening right now. And shout out to all the fans that's in the chat room right now. Nothing Taboo with Saga Justice. And they got a couple of questions from the chat room for CeCe. This one is from Tammy Jones Gibbs. Hey, Tammy, from That's Entertainment. She wants to know, will you be touring again, especially in the States?
Definitely. Right now, I am doing performances, but I'm not necessarily on tour. But I am doing performances in different places. I have Canada coming up, Chicago. Like I said, I just did Vegas. I did the EDC, which is like 100,000 people, biggest dance event of like the dance world. So I'm definitely gonna have some dance events coming up and performances. So check my fan page, Tammy, so you can see where I'm gonna be at.
Absolutely. And then Nothing Taboo wanted to know. He said, when did you know you wanted to pursue music? And who did you listen to when you were younger?
I knew it when I was about like 13 years old. In fact, I came in the house. I was talking to my grandmother at the time, and I was like, "Grandma, I was like, I'm gonna be famous one day." And she was like, "You know, your grandma never believes you. They're like, go outside and play, baby. I hear you." And so, I just knew. It's just something in me knew that I was meant for the stage and knew what I wanted to do. But the people that I adore and love, is like and still love this to this day is Miss Chaka Khan, Patti LaBelle, Luther Vandross. Those are my favorites.
Absolutely.
Rita Franklin. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, CeCe, you know, one thing I like to ask a lot of the you know, artists and celebrity artists we have on the show is, you know, right now I feel like, and a lot of us have talked about this before. You know, music is kind of in an uproar right now. I think there's a lot of people that are disappointed with some of the new music now. A lot of people don't really like to listen to the radio. Some people feel like a lot of the new artists, you know, just sound the same. There's no personality. There's no, you know, there's no positivity in music anymore. You know, how do you feel about some of the thoughts about some of the listeners out there who, you know, who just have a problem with some of the new music these days?
Well, I can kind of understand some of it because, like, when I listen to the radio, it's like, for one, it's like they keep playing the same artists. There's, like, to me, so many beautiful artists. And it's
yes.
The same for, like, award shows. They keep having the same people on every award show instead of, like, changing up the scenery a little bit, you know, because there are so many beautiful artists out here. So I can understand people being a little disgruntled. And then you listen and you don't know who the artists are. Like back in the day, you know, in the day, it's like they would announce who the artist is. You don't know who anybody is, like as an artist who to look up, or they have the producer, not the artist name, the artist. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like really cohesive. So I get some of that. I understand.
Well, you know, I mean, and it's true with what you said because, I mean, it's so many artists, you know, with some of the same names. I mean, it's about 1,000 artists with little in front of their name. It's about 1,000 with big or with young in front of their name. So it's kind of hard to really keep up with that. And there's so many artists that sound the same. I mean, I've heard artists who I thought was Beyonce. I've heard artists who I thought was R. Kelly. And like you said, when you hear some of the artists back then, you automatically knew it was them. You knew it was Stevie Wonder. You knew it was... you know, the Gap Band. You knew it was, you know, Ron Isley. I mean, you know, different artists, Bobby Brown. I mean, New Edition. You knew it was them when you heard them on the radio. But nowadays, I feel like there's no personality anymore. So it's like it's really hard to truly know who you're listening to on the radio. And you're right. They don't give a lot of these incredible artists an opportunity to be heard on the radio, and that's where we come in, man. We created this to give artists an opportunity to be heard, an opportunity to get their music played. I've heard and talked to so many of the most incredible artists, and I feel like they're getting a raw deal, not getting a chance to be heard on mainstream radio. But, you know, we're going to play them on the D-Hour show, and we're going to give them a chance to be heard because, you know, I think they should be heard just like everybody else.
And I think that's beautiful. It's definitely it's one of those things where I think a lot of it has to do with marketing. And what has happened, too, is that a lot of the different channels that used to be like music channels where we would see videos, like video after video. Remember how they used to debut videos and you'd be like, oh, let me get the new Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson video coming out. It was like things have turned into more of like reality TV now. So it's like, I mean, that's a great marketing tool, too, depending on what it is, but it's like you just don't see the music videos anymore unless you go on YouTube and you look that artist up. You may happen to find it, but it's not, like, right in your face like it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely.
So that's a beautiful thing that you give artists the opportunity to have their music heard on your show.
Oh, yes. I mean, I think they deserve it. Like I said, I've heard some and talked to some of the most incredible talented artists, incredibly intelligent artists, and I feel like they need to be heard and, you know, give people an opportunity to judge for themselves what they feel great music is. I mean, just that's the way we used to do it back in the day, and I just feel like we need to bring that back. You know, let the audience, decide as well what great music is. So I think that we definitely need to bring that back, and I'm so glad that you're doing that. You know, you're bringing back some of that great music, some of that great dance music and that great music that we used to love listening to back in the day. So I think it's great that you're bringing it back to us.
Thank you.
Now, Cece, we're getting ready to bring in Corey Clark from American Idol. I want to see if I can get you to hold on for a second because he actually had an experience with you and he wanted to talk about it when we get him on. But ladies and gentlemen, it's the D-Hour Show, Blog Talk Radio. It's your boy D-Slate, Miss Fabulous, and RC. We got the beautiful Miss Cece Peniston in the house. We're getting ready to bring in the man, Corey Clark from American Idol. But right now, we're going to take a quick music break. And when we get back, we got more with Cece and more with Corey. It's the D-Hour Show. We're going to go ahead and kick it off a little bit right now with DK of the GS Boys with his new hit single, Heartbeat. It's the D-Hour Show, Blog Talk Radio.
Hey.
Hold on. I can hear it.
Hear what, baby?
Baby.
Yes, baby.
I can hear your heartbeat. Even when we get up in the sheets. No matter where we be. I can hear it in my head. I can hear it. I can hear it in my head. I can hear it in the bed.
show, Blog Talk Radio. It's your boy D Slade, Miss Fabulous, and RC. We in the building. I got the lovely ladies of the D-Hour show with me tonight. We're talking to the beautiful Miss CeCe Peniston. You just got through listening to DK of the GS Boys with his new hit single, Heartbeat, right here on the D-Hour show. Well, ladies and gentlemen, right now we're going to go ahead and introduce our second guest for tonight on the D-Hour show. Corey Clark is best known for being one of the standout finalists on the second season of the mega hit Fox reality show TV series American Idol. A weekly showstopper, he was rewarded with a rare standing ovation from the regular judges, while the guest judges unanimously praised his singing. Legendary Motown producer Lamont Dozier called him a new and rising Smokey Robinson, and Gladys Knight described his voice as absolutely wonderful. Not to mention the CD American Idol 2 featuring Corey has been certified gold, ladies and gentlemen. Please give a warm D-Hour show welcome for Mr. Corey Clark.
Hey, Slade, thank you so much for the great introduction, man. That was cool.
Corey, no doubt, brother. What's going on? Welcome to the D-Hour show, man. Thank you for calling in to us tonight.
Hey, thank y'all for having me, man. It's my pleasure. My pleasure,
absolutely,
brother.
Absolutely. What's going on with you, Corey?
Man, I'm doing a lot of cool things. Really, I'm sitting back here. I'm right now. I'm listening to the show, and I was listening to you talking to CeCe, and she's still on the phone.
Yeah, we got CeCe on the line right
now.
Hey,
Corey.
Hey, CeCe, what's happening, baby?
What's up, sweetie?
Hey, I'm part
of
it. I don't even know if you remember it or not, but. I mean, I was a 24-year-old young dude at the time, you know what I'm saying, recording my first record, and we happened to be recording, you were recording your record, and I was recording my record at the same place. We was at Devontae Swing studio in Cali.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Before you had showed up, I mean, you know, Uncle Flay was there with us, and, you know, we was enjoying the evening, celebrating the fact that we're getting this album together and stuff, so we had a couple of drinks. And you came in, first of all, and I was just blown away that I was even in the same building as you, you know what I'm saying, doing your thing while I was doing mine. I thought that was extremely huge as far as, a step in the right direction with my career at the time as a young up-and-coming musician. And you were doing your thing. You were rocking the song. And I just, I remember these cats. I became a true believer of not only your talent that night, but also you just as a real down-to-earth person, like you're a very cool person, and you just really don't take nobody's shit. I remember these fools, they got to pausing your takes. You were in the middle of your takes, and they kept stopping your takes. And you were like, man, can I get through my take, please? And they were like, no, you got to sing it like this. You got to sing it like this. And you was like, I know how I need to sing my song. Like, I'm not an amateur here. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I know
how to do what I do, so please just let me get through a take. And before you know it, these fools got to, calling out epithets and names at her and stuff, and thinking she going back down or something. She was like, well, come on with it then. Let's go. And then they had to hold it back, man. Like, yo, it's cool. It was a great first studio experience for me making that record. So I just want to put that out there and tell y'all that if y'all don't know, CeCe Peniston is real. She is real. Not only talented, but just down to earth and real. And I love that about her.
Thank you, baby. I definitely remember. In fact, you had two friends with you that day, right?
I absolutely did. It was actually, I actually had three. It was Neo, Solomon Ridge, and Ray Blaylock. We all used to be in a singing group together back in the day, so they were up there with me recording and writing the song with me. That's right.
Yep, and I was in there with Trey. Remember Trey Pierce? He was in
there.
Yeah, he played
bass on the song that
yeah,
I did.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's an amazing bass player, so yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Tracy's a very good dude. So that was a great experience, by the way. That was awesome. I just had to put that out there.
Well, thank you, and congrats to you. I'm glad to see you doing your thing in the studio. And congrats on your new single. I'm gonna go download and give you some love.
Hey, I appreciate that so much. To be honest, that's not even the new single. That's I've only put out the one record so far. That was the one I was working on when you and I were at the studio, and that was the one I did through Bungalow Universal. But I'm currently working on a project that I've got about 40 or so songs done for. Basically going to have a nice listening slash critiquing party with some of my industry friends and college classmates in the music program, and just kind of whittle that down to the best 12 and then make that the second record. So as the newer single comes up, I'll definitely, facilitate it to your people and the other folks as well. And yours, that Celebrate, that was dope.
Thank you.
I was sitting here, I was dancing. I was like, that is dope. I was like, bring it to him. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you just, you're not in any type of one box. And that's what I love about you as an artist, man. Like, you're multifaceted, and you can touch different types of songs. And that's kind of the same type of fashionable artist that I want to be as well, not just boxed in. I mean, creatively, figuratively speaking, my roots, I'm not even, I can't classify myself even as black or white because I'm both, so I don't ever really want to be boxed in or nothing, and I want to be able to touch on different genres of music like you yourself do, so I can sell to everybody.
And you know what? And that's what you should say. And that's what you say. That's part of your creativity. That's what makes you an artist, is not allowing other people to infringe upon who and what you are. So
absolutely.
I definitely get it. D, I know you understand.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I think that's true. I think that, to be able to reach out to so many, different people to different genres of music, because you're right. You don't want to get yourself categorized in one particular brand of music. Be able to reach out to everybody. I mean, we all know. I mean, that was the situation when MC Hammer. When MC Hammer came out around the time when hip hop was strong, and he was reaching out not only to the African American crowd, but with the Caucasians and everybody else as well. So he became a hit. But a lot of the a lot of the old schoolers and a lot of the underground rap artists weren't really giving him his respect because he was going what they would call commercial. But it's what made him a hit, to reach out to more than one particular crowd.
Isn't that what rap really started out as, though? It's just a commercial. Like, everybody, to me, when I even used to watch even like the Sugar Hill Gang and their stuff from back in the early 80s, late 70s, like, all of that was just about having fun and having a good time and partying. It wasn't about, like, gangster rap and that sort of hip-hop and the hardcore element of it that became what it is today didn't really evolve until after, people like the NWA publicly came out, not to discredit the underground and what they had going on before that, but that was really the explosion of hip-hop becoming this hard thing. And there was still an element of what it used to be, how it was, fun and, everybody could dance to it and whatnot, and then it became this, you got to be a killer or a drug dealer in order to do it or, get respect from doing it. And that kind of changed the face of the whole game, and really, to be honest, in my opinion, not in a good way. You know what I'm saying? Because it's kind of ignited a couple of stupid, rivalries where, some majorly talented, unreplaceable people, have died behind. And it's, all over the matter of, just money and stupidity, when really them brothers should have just been selling records and focusing on their craft because they were at the top of their game. Like, they were, they're making holograms of these cats performing now. That's how big they were when they were alive. So it's like, come on, man. Like, stick with the music, stick with the fun. But, if people have that aspect in them where they want to listen to the violent part of it, cool. But it's becoming so entrenched in our youth and in our culture now that it's almost that they think like that's our way of life and that's the way to get respect and that's the way to be cool. And, that's not the case. I mean, even the hardest gangsters back in the 70s used to listen to Al Green and Stevie Wonder and Michael Jackson and, the Spinners and, all the love songs and R&B acts that we're playing. But now, if you say I do R&B music to somebody, they look, especially some of these younger kids out here in the South, they're like, oh, I don't listen to that. That's soft,
right.
Nick. That's soft music. I don't listen to soft music. I listen to rap. I listen to hard. I'm hardcore. And they, trying to invalidate what you do as an artist and as a human being and myself as a man, as if what I'm doing isn't hard. But they don't know some of the people that they're emulating, you know, used to get around and listen to this type of music all the time. So it's not really a stature of being what's hard or soft. It's really more of a personal taste and what they think the socially acceptable norm is, which is violence. And that's not
that's
the case.
Before I really get deep into the questions, I just want to make sure if Cece's cool with us, if she still got enough time to hang out with us.
I actually got to get off in about like 5 minutes.
Okay.
But
let me ask you this question, Cece, before you get a chance to get off. I know I wanted to ask you and Corey this and see what you guys what takes on this. The whole Chris Brown and Drake situation. A lot of people were upset at that whole situation and the way that went down, and a lot of people are talking about it. And my thing is, you know, how much responsibility as an artist and celebrity artist, you know, that people a lot of these kids look up to, how much of it is a responsibility to really watch your actions and the different things you do when you're out in the public.
There's such thing as still remaining an individual, no matter what craft or what you're doing in this world, but being a public figure. Unfortunately, people look at what you do, what you say, how you dress, how you act. It's all a part of just the whole persona. Is like people are looking at you like you're this figure that they look up to, or this is something that they want to do with their lives. And so, you know, unfortunately, that's just part of the game. And, you know, you have to be able to kind of still flow through this world and be an individual at the same time, not squelch who you are as a person, but still be responsible.
Absolutely.
As much as you possibly can, because you know what, life happens, things happen where, you know what, sometimes situations just happen that are unexpected, that, you know what, it is what it is, but you just, you know, hey, as much as possible, but life happens sometimes.
Before Corey answers, I got another one of our hosts from the D-Hour show, C-Sharp, in the building. Hey, C-Sharp.
What's up? I couldn't miss this one. I couldn't miss it. She's my girl,
right?
I gotta get on. I know I was late. I had some appointments, but just making a side note on what you just said, CC. Everybody's human. You know what I mean? Like, just because you're a celebrity doesn't mean you're not human. You have emotion. You might pop off like the regular person might pop off, and the unfortunate part about it is, you are seen all the time. There are constantly cameras on you. If there were cameras on me 24 hours a day, they would have a lot to say, and just like anybody else. So I really, you know, I don't envy that part of a celebrity's life, because you don't have that privacy. And for you guys to still be professional when you are in a situation like this and when you're performing, that really says a lot about who you are. So my hat's off to you guys, because I don't think there's any way that I would be able to do that.
Well, thank you. For me, oh, trust me, I've had my moments. I've had my moments where I've popped off. Corey noticed one of them.
She was just responding to being disrespected. It was these other fools popping off at her. She was just letting them know, I ain't going. You know what I'm saying? Like, man or woman, like, I know it don't matter. That's what impressed me the most. It was two guys, like, talking shit to her and coming at her wrong, and she stood up for herself. I had a lot of respect for her for that.
That's what it's about, though, yeah.
But, you know, I just didn't get caught. You see what I'm saying? When I had my moments. And there have, no, for real. And then there have been moments where someone did catch me out there on a bad day. And I'm like, you know what? I'm like, I'm so sorry, but you are really catching me just at a bad moment. I hope I get to see you again. And I just couldn't, like, hide what I was feeling. But I tried to make the other person know, look, it's not true. It's not personal. I'm just on one today. And that's just how, you know, how my day is going right now. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, if I had cameras probably 24/7, they'd probably catch some of those moments.
Yeah. But you know what, Cece, I've met you a few times. I've actually been, you know, of course, C-Sharp is my radio personality. I've actually been to your house. I've been at a club when you perform. I even saw you in Chicago. And you just, it's just like, you just down. You just like a cool, just like regular type of person. And I don't think people really realize that about celebrities. And it's like, you know, I'm human too. I got blood running through my veins. If you piss me off, you might see it. And I just think that if they saw more of that instead of, if they showed more of that instead of the negative part, then it wouldn't be, you know, people probably wouldn't have been interested, but I think they should show more of the positive of celebrities instead of throwing all that negativity out there.
I tell you, you know, it's probably not in your best health interest to walk up on CeCe Peniston and try to use the B word with her, because you're going to pay severely for that. You know what I'm saying?
Tonight.
I would not recommend that whatsoever as a Surgeon General's type of warning.
Yeah.
Wow.
They know, if they didn't know, they know now.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, thank you. I'm glad I didn't have to give the disclosure.
Hey, but what kind of regular person would just accept that, though? You feel me?
That's real.
Absolutely.
Well, CeCe, I want to say first and foremost, it was an absolute honor and pleasure to have you on the show with us tonight. I'm glad we finally got a chance to talk to you. We had an incredible time with you, and I would love to have you back on the show with us again. I'd like to extend this to everybody on the D-Hour show, as far as myself, Miss Fabulous RC, and C-Sharp, and the D-Hour show family. The door is always open for you. You got a home right here on the D-Hour show, and you're welcome here anytime you want.
Well, that's definitely beautiful, and I thank you so much for all of your love, and I would love to come back. And, Corey, it was great to talk to you, converse with you again, and Dee, thank you so much for everything. And, hey, when I get a new one or whatever, I'll let you guys know, and I'll come back on the show.
Are you on Facebook?
Or I'm on Facebook, Twitter, all that, Instagram, CeCePeniston.com, yeah, all of it.
Okay, I'll go to CeCePeniston.com. I'll connect up with you through Facebook.
Okay, beautiful.
All right.
Y'all have a good night. Thank you.
Thank you,
CeCe. Okay, bye. Bye, CeCe.
Hey, now, Dee, you know, as far as, like, to answer your question, man, it's, for me, it's, you know, they pretty much been hitting the nail on the head. Like, you know, just take the celebrity out of it for a moment. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're still, you know, as an adult, period, you have an obligation to carry yourself in a respectful, honorable, ethical manner, to leave
Absolutely.
An example for the youth that are coming up underneath us to run this world. That's everybody's duty across the board. The fact that we are, you know, celebrities, and people do happen to, you know, maybe tune into us more than the average bear, it really shouldn't have an effect on whether or not we should be held to a higher standard than the normal person, you know, because everybody should be doing the same thing. As a celebrity, as, you know, C-Sharp has said and CeCe said, you know, we are regular people, you know. So people do things, and I've experienced this firsthand just from some of the fallout on the American Idol stuff, which is, you know, really, I don't even really go by that at all. Like, I just tell folks, you know, I own my own company. I'm a CDC music artist. Got, you know, distribution through Universal. That's usually what I put out there, because there was so much fallout attached to the American Idol situation that, you know, I've experienced people, you know, running up and, you know, sucker punching me from the back
to just doing shows,
you know, just because of the show, or throwing eggs at me and my wife and kids while we walking down the street together, or, you know, calling in to radio shows. I'll have my, you know, baby son up with me at a radio show or something, you know, once or twice, and got a call from some very ignorant, what seemed to be, you know, KKK members that were like, we're gonna hang that nigger baby and kill you and all this other jazz. So there's a negative aspect to it where, you know, folks like to try you as a celebrity as well to get a reaction out of you. Now, you know, knowing that going in, you do want to put up a wall to, because you know people are going to try you. But then again, there's still a certain extent of damage or abuse that any normal human being can take. And it's unfortunate how small the world has gotten because of the internet, in a case where every little bit of news is completely saturated to the fact of where it's you know, in people's mind and embedded in people's mind so tough that that's simply the way it is. I mean, you got the internet, all these blog sites, talk radio, television,
right.
You know, the list goes on. And it's a matter of overexposing the celebrity's personal life for the media conglomerate's personal game when they're selling papers and whatnot and getting viewers. And just really all they're doing is exposing the human side that every person experiences. But I think it's sensational to certain people because they didn't realize that that celebrities could mess up like them, you know. But it's also in the course of that, it's wrecking a lot of celebrities' careers and lives, and we're not being judged on the same scale, both good and bad, as a regular person would. There's some celebrities that get out of stuff because they're a celebrity, you know, that they shouldn't have gotten out of it, you know. But there's other cases where because the police recognize you or because a judge recognizes you, you know, they want to stick it to you extra hard as well to make an example out of you for other people to see, you know. So we're biasedly judged on both sides of the spectrum, but we're not equally treated like normal people either. And some people would argue that, you know, well, the exuberant amounts of money that you guys make makes up for it. But, you know, some of us are celebrities and don't have the exuberant amounts of money to combat that stuff. You know what I'm saying? You know, not everybody that's on television is a multimillionaire. Not everybody that's on the radio is a multimillionaire.
Well, you know, I want to say first and foremost, man, to all those ignorant individuals out there who like to be ignorant like that, you can get a V slap right about now. And those individuals that didn't feel it the first time, here's another V slap for you. Now,
slapping the taste out their mouth.
That's right, baby. That's right. Now, before Corey, before we, I know my co-hosts. You know, I know they got some questions for you. Before I let them get into that, we're gonna debut your song "Out of Control" tonight on the D Hour Show, and tell everybody a little bit about that single before we kick it off for them real quick.
Well, "Out of Control" is an amazing upbeat, you know, pop club smash type of song, man. It was a wonderful experience for me making the song and creating the song because, one, I got to write the song with a guy that's basically like a brother to me, Ray Blaylock, who's currently writing a lot on the current Neo record that's being produced in the studios in Atlanta. We've known each other since we were 15, and it was just awesome being able to work with somebody that I was comfortable with and knew on this record. And then you throw in the fact that you have the great, you know, 2005, Scott Storch was the man. You know what I'm saying? Like he was creating hits for everybody, and for him to give me an opportunity and Ray an opportunity to go into his studios in Miami and be able to pick our track and record this song, you know, with his influence and his direction and his advice, it was an awesome experience, man. Something that, you know, I'll always remember for the rest of my life. And it's also something that, you know, you can't ever really like, you know, not necessarily live up to, but you can't replace, you know. So it was a great experience doing it. The music video that's out on the web that was done to this song, it was directed by Christian Strickland, who's done a lot of major videos for the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Madonna and a lot of other A-list artists. And
it's a great video as well.
Well,
I've heard the single, and it's hot, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to go ahead and debut it right now. We got more of the D Hour Show, Blog Talk Radio, Celebrity Thursday. We got the amazing Corey Clark in the building. We're going to go ahead and debut Corey's single right here on the D Hour Show. We got more with Corey when we come back. Corey, go ahead and introduce your song for everybody.
Hey, everybody. This is Corey Clark, and you are listening to Out of Control, produced by Mr. Scott Storch, debuted on Universal Records, CDC Music, and Bungalow Records. I hope that y'all enjoy it because it is a smash.
Here it is. Corey Clark single, Out of Control. We got more with Corey Clark when we come back.
Bread.
Cat, welcome back. Welcome back. It's the D Hour Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's your boy D Slate, Miss Fabulous, and C Sharp in the building. We playing them. That was the D Hour Show world premiere. My man Corey Clark's his single "Out of Control."
Yeah.
Right
thank you, man.
Now, I know my Miss Fab and C Sharp got some questions, so I'm gonna start with C Sharp. You got any questions for Corey?
I love all these C's, by the way. The RC, the CC, the C Sharp, the Corey Clark. Some of my friends call me CC anyway. Like, there's a lot of CCs going on tonight. I love it.
That's right.
All right, you gotta get in the club. Well, my question to you is, since you have started singing and being married and having kids, has it changed your music a little bit? Has it changed, you know, your focus a little bit?
It has. Being a dad, man, and being married has definitely, it's changed a lot of things about me. It's changed my life, period, I think. It does make me more, cognizant of the music that I'm creating, to whereas before I just wanted to talk about anything and whatever was going on. Now I find myself in the studio at times going, well, do I want to say that? Because I got a daughter now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
So it does draw like a line in the sand that is hard to toe and stay, you know, on the side of things. That, you know, I don't want my kids asking me, well, Daddy, why'd you say that? Or why'd you do this? And why'd you, you know, I haven't gotten to the stage of, I guess, being that comfortable with doing it and just being 100% myself out in the open as somebody like, I guess, I would say maybe Madonna, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure her daughter's got like a laundry list of questions, like starting with A, subcategory B, going down to Z, we're going to ask you about this magazine picture right here. Like, I'm not to that stage where, you know, I can go do a full dude spread or do something, you know, just do something outrageous like that because of the fact that I have kids now. If I would have done all that beforehand, I guess it would have been something that I would have been in a better place to explain. But I do find myself trying to tailor to my new lifestyle as being a dad and as a husband. Yeah, I do. But also, I do write a lot, but I don't write everything, and there still is a business aspect to the music business, which they say 90% of is business anyway. So I do have to, you know, look at the fact that I guess the audience that I'm targeting, you know, I don't necessarily want to prejudge what anybody's going to buy or not buy, but I want to take into account, you know, some of the things that they're going through and what they're listening to and what they're dealing with, because the goal here is to sell records. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why it's the music business and not just music. So I do, sometimes I'll get songs turned in by other songwriters. Sometimes I'll have to do a song that maybe, you know, a label head of a, you know, a partnering label that I partnered my company up with wants me to do or demands that I do before I release any type of record. So, you know, there's a lot of other aspects that go into formulating a record other than just my own personal taste, unfortunately, because at times that can misrepresent who you are as a person. And, you know, I did become married to my music before I became married to my wife and before I had kids. So that's something that's been a part of me for my entire life now. And, you know, that's how I make my living, and that's all I really know how to do. So that's what I'm going to continue to do. And I guess I'm blessed with a wife that understands, you know, the business that I'm in, and she seems to be fine with it now.
And that's good to have that. That's definitely good to have that, bro. So I'm happy for you. Before I go to my girl Miss Fab, I want to let everybody know that's tuned in right now on the D Hour Show. We got Corey Clark in the building with us. We may go a little over, you know, and that's how we gets down. You know what I'm saying? It's never scripted on the D Hour Show. It's always real. If you guys definitely want to catch, you know, the end of the interview, you can call in right now, 718-766-4553, 718-766-4553, call in right now if you guys want to catch the end of the interview, and we got a little bit more music as well, so make sure you guys call in, 718-766-4553. Miss Fabulous, you got any questions for Corey?
Yes, first and foremost, welcome, Corey Clark, and no,
thanks.
I don't have the phonetical pleasure of having a C like the rest of you all.
Oh, it's all right. Just your name means you could be in the room. It's fabulous.
Okay.
Like, anybody that's fabulous and amazing can be in the room, so you all gravy.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, yes, F as in Frank, yes. You know, isn't that something how when people order stuff, they say, yes, I like to order a fish, F as in Frank. I is it? Okay, just order. I'm on the show, Bob. Hey, but I want to say two things, points of interest. In the beginning of the show, you mentioned that you had a catalog. And for those who are listening, I don't mean like a Sears or Victoria's Secret. A catalog is a plethora, if you will, of music, or like a collection of music, if you will. But basically, you mentioned that you had like 40-something odd songs, and then you're going to have people of your peership and colleagues and so forth to get together and kind of review and give their opinions, and then you will select the best 12. Now, back in the day when they did EPs, they had anywhere between 8 and 10, you know, singles on an EP. What would be the recommendation that you would give to indie artists? Would it be advantageous for them to put out like a full-fledged 12 to 14? Is it the more the better or the less the best in terms of albums and submitting now with all the cutbacks and all the residuals having to split to various respective parties? What would your recommendations be?
I mean, just it's just really a personal taste. You know, there's people that can go into a project and every single song they record is just, you know, it's a hit song. You know what I'm saying? And the people involved know it to be a hit. And, you know, it's just magic that's created. In other circumstances, when an artist is creating a body of work, which is kind of what I feel like I'm doing right now, you know, I don't necessarily feel that everything I talk about and every song that I make is a hit song, but I'm still an artist and I still need to express myself, you know? And the purpose for me to doing that many songs, I mean, the real goal is really 50. So the purpose for me to do that many songs and then pick, you know, what me and my team and the record labels feel, and of course the market research that we'll get from the listening and critiquing party, doing that, we'll put the best 12 forward after that and then create the record, but it still leaves a great body of work behind. And, you know, other things can happen with that music. I mean, you can license it out to, you know, video games, television shows, commercials, you know, corporations to use as jingles for their companies or possibly simply just, you know, what do they call those companies, man? I forget the name of the company that services different companies that they give them the music to play in the elevator when you're riding it, or the supermarket while you're walking through there, or Walmart. But there's other avenues besides just releasing a record to get your music out there, and that's something that I've learned here in the last couple of years. In coming up against some of the hardships that I've been facing in the music industry is a way and other avenues to get your music out there. And some of that does include writing for other people. Some of that does include pitching songs, and so on and so forth. So it's more about, for me, being able to establish myself as an artist and as an entertainer and as a songwriter, and my company as a brand, to reach out on multiple levels to different things and try to get involved with as many things as I possibly can while I'm still young and healthy enough to do it, because I am my own product. I am my company's own product, and even if you don't have your own company, you should still be looking at yourself as a product, even if you just have a record deal or indie distribution deal or whatever the case may be. Having a body of work is, it's a great financial benefit and interest to you as an artist and as a songwriter to have at your leisure and disposal, because you never know when somebody's going to need some at the last minute. You never know when somebody's going to hear something that you and your team didn't think was a hit, and they want to use it anyway for their project, and it ends up being a hit. So it's a good thing to have a body of work if you so desire it. If you don't want to, you don't necessarily have to, but that's just, you know, that's the way that I choose to do it, because of the path that I've taken on as not only an artist, but a record company owner and a business owner as well.
Yeah.
Oh, and just real quick, just as a quick follow-up, like 30 seconds or less, basically with every iconic reality show or, you know, like the stardom came from America's Idol, America Idol, or, you know, so forth,
like a derivative overseas, and then their American version, the music shows, the dance shows, and things of that nature. But you always specifically have an artist that is branded. It's all about branding. It's all about connecting. It's all about delivering a service to your listening audience and captivating them. What would you possibly say in 30 seconds or less, what would be the thing that would have, other than your voice, real people in to say, hey, I'm Corey?
For
everybody else, yes.
For myself, I would say that I've always pretty much been in my own lane. There's people out there that they say I sound like, but I've never wanted to cover anybody else's material, and I've always just wanted to be myself, because I figured there's enough Chris Browns and Neos and Ushers and Justin Timberlakes and Justin Biebers out there. They're at the top of their game. I don't want to be a cookie-cutter knockoff artist. I am Corey Clark. I'm going to be the original Corey Clark, and there's going to be people that are going to be singing my songs on karaoke television shows, and people that are remaking my music and sampling, you know, the beats to my stuff. It's all about being original for me and doing my thing and trying to stay as true to that as possible. One of the things that was most relevant to me recently was sitting down with a 19-year-old friend of mine, and I always try to keep level-headed people around me, but also I want young, fresh people around me as well that can keep me kind of up to date with what's happening nowadays in the scenes that I'm no longer necessarily involved in. And he listened to my music that I've got, and he felt like not only does it sound like it is on the radio already just because of the quality, and that it, or that it should be on the radio, but that it doesn't sound like anything else that's on the radio, which is awesome for me, because I don't want a bunch of, the distinction is key. When a Corey Clark song comes on, I want people to be able to say, that's Corey Clark, like they were able to do with Prince, Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, Donny Hathaway, people like that, you know. That's Corey Clark right there. I know his voice. I know his sound, you know what I'm saying, because you said outside the voice. I know his sound. I know, you know, his writing style. I know just his feel, his flow. I know that's Corey. So that's what I'm looking to achieve as an artist, is originality and distinction from other artists. And it's not a hard thing to do, because all you have to do is just be yourself.
And that's what it should be.
Yeah, there's not one person on this planet that's the same, and even identical twins have small differences about them.
And that's what it should be like. Yes, I think that's what it definitely should be like. Was to hear your music and say, hey, that's Corey Clark, and I definitely commend and respect that as an artist coming from you. Corey, my last question for you, and, you know, some of the other American Idols finalists and the guests we've had on the show, I've asked them. I know me and Kimberly Caldwell was kind of laughing it up about this when I had her on the show. The thing about it is you always hear a lot of, you know, and I know I've heard Kelly Clarkson say this as well, and you hear a lot of the, you know, some of the American Idol contestants saying, you know, not really saying too much about American Idol and not really, wanting to talk about it and different things like that, and, you know, I don't really want to talk about American Idol. And I know, you know, when me and Kimberly were talking about this, you know, I feel like, well, if you never got involved, regardless of your situation with them, you know, with any of the artists, and I know Kelly Clarkson had a not so good history with them as well, but, you know, if you never got involved with American Idol, you know, where do you, where would your career be now if you never got involved with them, for people to actually, for America to actually get a chance to really see, you know, see you and hear you and hear your talent, and you just get that shot. You know, even whether you won the competition or not, but you just get that shot for people to hear you and listen to your music. You know, it's like, so you think about it, how much credit do you give them for giving you your shot?
Well, going into American Idol, I thought that it was a great platform for artists who are having a hard time being noticed in the record industry, whether it was political reasons or otherwise.
Right.
And that's what I thought going in, and that's what drew me to the show, was
the fact that as a singer and an entertainer in the music industry, which I've been a part of since I was 13 years old professionally, ironically, you know, the vocal coach for American Idol, Deborah Bird, gave me my first professional singing job ever as a 13-year-old teenager, singing back up in Las Vegas, Nevada for 3 years straight with my parents for Barry Manilow, who happens to be the largest-selling adult contemporary artist of all time. That was my first time on a stage, and it happened to be the American Idol vocal coach that gave me that opportunity. So the music industry is a small place. Lamont Dozier, I mean, a staple songwriter, a legend, a living legend, as it was. Many hits came from Holland Dozier Holland out of Motown that people still rock to today and that they sample from and all that. You know, his son had formed a singing group shortly after Envy had broken up, which was a group that included my friend Neo and Ray and Solomon. And, you know, it was a great situation to work with his son, Bulldozer, who's a very talented producer as well. But, you know, Lamont saw the talent in me then. So, I mean, American Idol, like I said, I thought going into it, it was a great platform. I had some great experiences on the show that I'll never forget. I met some great people, Miss Gladys Knight. I mean, I'd never met her before, and to have her, you know, exclaim to the world that I had an amazing voice was like that's every singer's dream, to have, you know, somebody that you look up to in your field of work or otherwise. If you're outside of the field of music, you still looked up to Gladys Knight because she was a hell of a singer, she is a hell of a singer, and she was selling records. And here she is, you know, with like dozens and dozens of albums under her belt, giving me praise in front of the world, and it blew my mind. So that in itself was a great experience. I don't know, however, if the platform that I was given at the time was worth the cost that I paid afterwards. And in fact, I found myself saying afterwards that I wished really, I mean, I was just talking with another friend of mine from season two the other day, and she was telling me, you know, I wish really that I'd never even been on American Idol, and I echoed those sentiments exactly, because it was such a life-altering experience, at first in a positive way, but ultimately for me, I guess, and obviously others, because you mentioned others, it ended up becoming a very negative experience. And and just the fallout from it, you know, the defamation that took place afterwards, and just the constant barrage of attacks and abuse, not only from, you know, the network that broadcast it, and the, you know, some of the producers themselves behind closed doors in the industry, in the record industry, but also just from the fanatics, I should say, not even fans. They were fanatics, you know, just the show, and they were simply crazy about the show, and you know, they didn't want to be told that there was anything wrong with the show whatsoever. You know, it just so happened that it was the show themselves that broadcast my situation the way that they did and put it out there the way that they did. And as not only a human being, but also as an American citizen, I have every inherent right to address the issue that these people have made public about me. It wasn't vice versa. It was them. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, their newspapers and their television network and their outlets were the first ones to release all the information on the Paula Abdul situation. They were the first ones to release the information on my disqualification and so on and so forth. And then people acted like there was a problem with me standing up and speaking out, not only on my own behalf, but, I mean, they were running my family's name through the mud as well.
See? So
it was like society was telling me to just lay down and let them screw me and my family.
Right.
And I wasn't going for that. I don't care what amount of or what type of level you think a celebrity should be at or whatever. But when people start attacking your family, man, when it leaves the field of entertainment and it starts permeating every day of your regular life, and you're negatively impacted by it, and your family's negatively impacted by it. I mean, really, there is no benefit to that, even if you are making millions of dollars, because there's nothing in this world like family, man. And
well,
you don't have anything outside of you as well, because you can't take the money to your grave with you. When you die, what remains of you is your name and your reputation and the type of person that you were on this planet. And
well, I think that's you definitely gave me a little bit of information, and I know Ms. Fabulous and C Sharp as well, about how the information got out there and the fact that they did that. But I'm gonna tell you like this: I'm truly not surprised. I mean, there's a lot of stuff about Hollywood that people just really truly don't know.
And Hollywood understands that. And they exploit that, and they take advantage of it, and they actually, I don't want to say all of Hollywood, I shouldn't generalize them, but at least these producers in particular that we're speaking about on Idol, they definitely understood it, and they exploited it, and they took advantage of it. I mean, they used to talk to us about, you know, how people would just basically believe anything that they read or were told or that they saw on television, and they knew that, and they exploited that. The New York Post is sister company to Fox. Underneath the News Corp umbrella. And the New York Post is the first newspaper to drop the story about the Paula Abdul situation. You know what I'm saying? And you know, so here I am in 05, and now people are talking about the real reason why I felt I was disqualified, and I felt like it was time for me to step up and answer it. I mean, it's not like they stopped knocking on my door either. They were continually blacklisting me in the music industry up until and past the time that I released my record on Universal Records. I mean, my label head had called me and my management team on a four-way call. There was two managers, myself and him, on this call. And he said, there's a meeting that's being called, and the president of Universal and the president of 19 Entertainment wants to sit down with me and talk to me about not signing you. And this is after we had already decided that I was coming on board, that they were going to, you know, brand my company and all this other good stuff. And he was like, what is it about you that they know that they're, you know, going to use against you? Is there anything? And on that phone call, I told him in front of my management team, there is nothing that these people have on me whatsoever. I lived a clean life. I've been arrested and subsequently had the charges dismissed before I auditioned for the show. My bond money was refunded to me by the courthouse before I auditioned for the show, and I told them about not only the arrest while I was auditioning for the show, but I also talked to them about the injuries that I received when the police during that arrest beat my ass for trying to stick up for my little sister, who they were trying to take to juvenile hall. And at that point, things got spun out of control in the media. I became a sister beater and a cop beater and a liar and a degenerate and a pig and a, you know, you name it, I've been called it. And you know what? At the end of the day, I'm doing my best to not only navigate through all of that, but also just to try to stay positive because of the fact that I do have kids now and I do have, you know, a wife. And I'm looking to try to be a positive influence for them. That's why I've enrolled myself in college at Middle Tennessee State University, taking the music program up there. It's a great school for music. You always hear about Berklee Conservatory of Music up in Boston in Berklee, California, but or the Boston Conservatory of Music, I'm sorry, but you don't really hear about MTSU until you get here, and it's a wonderful school. I just won Best Male R&B Artist in Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee, just 2 months ago at the Hip Hop in the Ville Awards. I won through voting process that included both my other peers that were in the same category as me and also fans. So not only did I have fans voting for me to win, but I also had my musical peers here locally, who all of them are bona fide 100% musicians, they voted me in to win, and it was my first award that not only I've been nominated for, but that I actually won. It was huge for me. I mean, it's an independent award and all that, but it was huge for me. Probably as big as my first Grammy's going to be to me, because my father, who is my musical hero, was there to watch me accept my award and give my speech and whatnot. And it made a big increase in the R&B department and in the urban music culture and in the urban music department for Music City, USA, because we don't really have a strong toehold here. A lot of people think about Nashville and they're like, oh, country music. And they're mostly right. That's what their tourism is based on. That's what a lot of people come here to see. But what they don't know is that the underground level out here has a lot of great producers. My partner Stantronic, who I'm doing the second record with for Street Pound Productions,
right.
L4 Productions, who is a team of students that are a production team out of MTSU as well. I mean, there's so much raw, untapped urban culture talent here that I don't mind helping put it on the map, or maybe even be the face of it. You know what I'm saying? So that's something that I'm positively involved in, and that I'm happy to be a part of. And I was just thankful for the fans and the other people that voted me in to win, because it just showed that regardless of what American Idol has said about me, when people hear my music and they actually put the drama and the bullshit aside, and they just listen to the music for what it is, they hear that I am talented, and it gets back to what Gladys Knight and Mr. Dozier were saying about me, is that I am a talented individual, and that's who I've always been, and that's all I've ever wanted to be, and for a long time it seemed like that's what the American Idol executives and producers and all them over there at Fox were trying to stop me from being. And I was just like, man, I'm just a musician. I'm just a guy that just wants to do my own thing. I was doing it long before you guys came along. I'm going to be doing it long after you guys are gone. So why are you trying to stop? Why are you trying to stop my shine? Why are you trying to stop what I'm doing?
Well, Corey, I want to say, well, first and foremost, man, I want to say that I give big props, man, and big ups to you for going through that and enduring that and still coming out positive and coming out on top and doing what you're doing right now. So, man, I got to give you big shout-outs for that as well. I just want to, for my closing comment, I know C-Sharp and Ms. Fab have something, but my closing comment, man, I want to say, thank you so much, bro, for joining us tonight, man. It was an absolute experience having you on with us and having CC on with us tonight, man. And like I said before to her, I like to extend this to everybody. As far as we are concerned at the D-Hour show, man, you're always welcome, man. The door is open for you, bro. You got a key. And anytime you want to stop by, you want us to play your music, you got a key to the house, man. Just make sure you turn the alarm off when you leave.
Thanks.
So, you're welcome anytime, bro, and the door is always open for you, man. We're going to continue to keep playing your hits, man, and when you make more hits, just shoot it our way so we can definitely get it in. And I just want to say, too, if you got a chance to look at the new season of American Idol, who did you think should have been the winner?
The American Idol season this year was quite a shocker. There were a lot of interesting developments when the finals, finally started coming on. And, it was classic Idol, I guess is the best thing I could say. It was like they went into, their old playbook of tricks and tried to make, some controversy and some things happen. And, regard, I do believe that it kind of just taints the process for me. People are supposed to be voting. They're supposed to be, picking the winner of the show. And, when you pull silly stuff like that, man, it takes the chance that you're, publishing away from the viewer to pick the person that they want to win. So, the person I thought maybe should have won, I don't think they got a fair shake, to be honest. You know what I'm saying? And then out of those that were left, I think that the Asian Mexican girl Jessica Sanchez, I think she had a great, phenomenal voice, and I think that she should have probably won. And I believe it was Chris Allen, or maybe it was David Cook, one of the two, that kind of made some disparaging comments recently. I mean, and both of those people won the show, and that's why I'm not sure which one it is. But they made the comment that, you know, change it up. The last five winners of the show have been white guys with guitars. You know, kind of boring.
Now, I agree, man.
That's what they said. That's not what I'm saying. That's what the winner of the show said. Like, change up the format. You've had like five white guys in a row with guitars win. And
I agree. I think Joshua Ledet should have won myself, but I mean that's my you know, that's my personal opinion about that. But I definitely think he should have won. I think he's the new Sam Cooke of our age. And,
I mean, that brother had a good voice, man, but I mean, why couldn't Jermaine Jones have won?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what? I mean, why couldn't he have been the new Barry White of our age?
That's true.
You feel me? Barry White sold millions of records. I don't give a damn who's not used to it, but there's been a lot of us babies that's been made to some Barry White music.
That's true. That's
true. You know what I'm saying? So who was to say Jermaine Jones couldn't have won the show?
That's true. I agree with you.
And he was in the finals. I mean, the way they brought him back in and everything, I mean, it was kind of weird the way they did it, in my opinion, but he was in the finals. He obviously had a shot to win, so why couldn't he have won? I thought he was probably going to win the way they brought him back, like it was going to be like a dark horse story, you know what I'm saying? Like he came from the back of the pack and ended up winning the Kentucky Derby type situation, you know, like the one that nobody tried to bet on.
Right.
Like,
that's real.
He's got a different kind of voice, and I think Jermaine could have won it.
That's real, bro. I agree with you. There was an incredible season, and a lot of those guys in this season were extremely talented. So, I definitely agree with you. Miss Fabulous, you got any closing comments for Corey?
No, more or less a statement. I like your music. I know where we can pretty much find you everywhere, and just keep doing the great work that you're doing. And we certainly appreciate everything that you've and your level of honesty and just being a great artistry in the craft. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Fabulous. That's very kind of you to say. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Well, Corey, if anybody want to, you know, catch you online or listen to some music online, where would they be able to catch you at, bro?
Oh, man. I mean, the album, I've only released the one album so far. It was a self-titled debut. So when you look me up on Google or when you look me up on iTunes or Rhapsody or wherever it is you shop, I've got an album available on every major online music store that there is. Whether you want to get the album or you want to get one of the singles, it's, you know, completely up to you. But you can obviously, you know, listen to the music, a sample of the music for free before you buy it, so you can check it out. You heard a sample tonight on the Hour Show. So, I mean, you know, it's not created in my bathroom or my closet or nothing like that. It's actually a very well-produced a record that was done in some major studios across the country. So, you know, pick it up, support it. They, you know, like you can find it on iTunes, more specifically to your question, Rhapsody, AOL Music, Amazon.com. I have a Twitter page that I blog on from time to time. A couple of my associates keep it up for me, but I do get on there every now and again and make my own statements and things of that nature, which is my Twitter name is CDC Music, all one word, regular spell music. That's Cat David Cat Music. Where else? I am on Facebook. You know, type in Corey Clark. I got a picture of my son's face up because there's a lot of doppelgangers out there trying to act like they're me. I find that funny. I'm like, why the hell would you want to be me? You know what I'm saying? Why are you acting like you're me? Like I'm like some multi. I bet you there are some people using my name acting like they're me better than I'm using it. I'm gonna tell you that now. There's some dude right now that's been getting plenty of play from being Corey Clark, and he's not really Corey Clark, but I'm, you know, I could barely ever get a girlfriend before I got married, you know what I'm saying?
All the doppelgangers out there, because I know it's a couple of brothers out there that's pretending to be me, man, that's working for some strip clubs and stuff, and I really don't appreciate that, you know. But,
did you say strip clubs?
It's all good. You know, all the doppelgangers out there, I'm going to give you a V-slap for that.
Are we about to see you in the movie Magic Mike with Matthew McConaughey?
You know what I'm saying, bro? It's real, baby, you know?
Pick. No, Family Mutual, that's my boss. Oh, no.
But, Well, Corey, I just want to say, man, we had a wonderful time with you, man, and you're welcome on the show anytime, bro. And you keep producing that great music, man, and we're going to keep playing it. And you have a blessed and wonderful night, man, and I'm going to definitely stay in touch with you.
I will, brother. I appreciate the love. I appreciate you guys having me on. It was my pleasure to be on, and I look forward to the next time when I get on again, because I'm definitely going to stay in touch with the Hour Show and make sure that you guys get, you know, some exclusive music from me, man, so you guys can put it out there, because it is good music. I mean, I thank y'all for bringing on CC Peniston, because she's a dope house artist, man. She's amazing. Like, she's amazing, and that song y'all played was dope too. Like, so she's always had her stuff going on, man, and she's doing her thing worldwide, and that's the level I'm trying to get at. You don't necessarily have to be selling millions and millions of records to make a very good living at being an artist. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking forward to just getting out there and doing my thing like she's doing it, and she does it uninhibitedly, and that's beautiful. That's exactly what I'm looking for. So it was great being on, man, and I look forward to the next time I'm on again. Oh, and can I, like, is this available? Like, can I stream this show to anybody that didn't get to listen tonight?
Oh, absolutely, bro. And probably in a couple of hours it'll be available. If not, definitely in the morning. You can definitely download it and stream it you know, wherever you want to stream it at.
Awesome, that's great. I'll definitely do that, because I know I got a couple different, you know, through the Twitter and the Facebook and stuff. I know there's probably some people that didn't get a chance to tune in, so I'd like to be able to.
Absolutely, and they can always go back, and check out any of our past shows, any of our, you know, past shows or archives. So all of our shows on blogtalkradio.com/The Hour Show. Also, for those out there, you can catch us. You can also listen to us on iTunes. And you can also, you know, for those with iPhones and iPads and Android phones, you can also download the free app, TuneIn Radio, and you can check out The Hour Show on there as well.
That sounds great, man. I'll definitely do that, and I will be streaming it up for folks to hear and you know, y'all are sending folks my way. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to send some folks y'all way.
No doubt, bro. And all those independent artists, man, that want to know to hit us up and check us out. And we're definitely going to have a space for them, a spot for them on the D-Hour Show. But, Corey, you have a blessed night, bro. And I'm definitely going to stay in touch with you, man. You keep doing your thing, bro.
You got it, my man. Thank y'all for having me, bro.
Thank you, Corey.
Thank you, Ms. Fabulous. RC, C-Tarp, everybody.
Okay.
All right,
bye-bye. It's the D-Hour Show on Blog Talk Radio, ladies and gentlemen. That was the one and only Mr. Corey Clark in the building with us, giving us an eye-opener about some of his experience in music and what he's doing right now. And big shout-out to Corey, and big, big shout-out to CT. We had a wonderful time with them, an incredible time with them on the show tonight. And just make sure you guys definitely check it out and go back and check it out on the D-Hour Show. And we just had a great time tonight, and I'm glad you guys got a chance to listen and keep tuning into the D-Hour Show every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Saturday. You know, and we got great shows for you guys coming up, and make sure you guys tune into Indie Up Saturday. This Saturday we got Lady Low, up and coming hip hop artist, as well as up and coming R&B singer. She's incredible too. Tiffany Mignon is going to be in the building with us as well this Saturday on Indie Up Saturday, so make sure you guys check it out. It's your boy D Slate, and it's Fabulous in the building. We got to get on up out of here. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your night. We'll see you guys on Saturday. Please be blessed.
Hottest in town, reaching your location, even places not around. Travel through your airways, stimulate your intellect, and you ain't even know. It's broadcasted from the internet, giving you what you want, showing love to the hood, even to the burbs. So yeah, it's all good. No, they ain't like other stations, following the trend. And 10 minutes later, the same song again. It's the D-Hour Show. Yeah, I said it, so you know. Coming first in any challenge, on your mark, set, go. If you're ready, let's roll. Let's hop aboard the starship. The hottest station show. We love the underground artists. Yeah.